Bezrash Mizbuch, we begin Perek Asi with the 10th chapter in the Damas Hachas Gzeil Bavedin, the laws of robbing and of lost objects, and the Sefer Nezikin, the book of damages. We continue the theme of the previous Perek, discussing the laws of stolen property. And also regarding if someone goes into someone else's property and does certain work over there, what is going to be the halacha? As Rambam gives halacha aleph regarding if someone purchases from a non-Jew that extorts and he's collecting his debt from the Jew, and then a Jew buys from that non-Jew, what's the halacha? So goy bal zroya, so very forceful non-Jew, sh'onas nechse Yisrael, who takes forcibly from a Jew, v'yor l'tech sedei, and he goes into his field, mach mashoy l'choyva bal asad, because there was outstanding debt on the owner, that Jewish landowner. There was some type of a damages that the Jew owed the non-Jew. Because he had ruined his monies. Now, after that, this non-Jew grabbed away the person's field. He sold it to another Jew. So the original owners cannot extract that and collect it from the one, from the Jew who bought from this non-Jew. When do we say this, that the owners cannot go ahead and take it away from the one who bought from the non-Jew? When the owners admit that the non-Jewish seller has a rightful claim regarding the outstanding debt. Or that there's Jewish witnesses that testify that the non-Jew who's selling it to the Jew is claiming right, that he's really owed money from that original Jewish owner. So let's say he was a king or a minister in that area, that he could force the Jew, the Gentile, who had sold this, to force him to come to a court case. And the original owner didn't go and bring him to court, this Gentile who grabbed with a field. So that's also an indicating factor. Now, he cannot go ahead and extract the field from the one who bought from the Gentile. Although the Jewish original owner is not admitting to the non-Jew, because this is the third case, and even though they don't have the first two variables, and even if there's no witnesses that are verifying the claim of the Gentile, because the buyer could tell the owners, if it was true that the non-Jew had robbed this venue, why didn't you go and bring him to court in their courts? Obviously, it's because that's a silent admission, and therefore the Jewish buyer could keep it. Halacha Gimel continues regarding different cases of Gentiles who forcibly take away the Jewish property. Hagoyim hametzikim liYisrael, regarding the Gentiles who pain a Jew, where umavakev shlahargim, they want to kill the Jew, until he redeems himself from the Gentile, besadeo bevesa, by giving him his field or his house, v'yitnen lemetzik, and therefore he gives it to the ruffian, v'achachin lechen, and then he leaves him. So now when this ruffian wants to sell this land, so if the original owner has the opportunity to buy from this meitzik, then they get the rights before every single person to buy back his own field. But if the owner cannot buy it back, or the land was left in the possession of this meitzik for a period of 12 months, and either one of these circumstances, whoever goes first and buys from this meitzik, he merits, and the original owner cannot take it away from him. As long as you give back to the original owners, either revi'a hakarka, a quarter of the land, or the third of the monies. Why? Because this meitzik is selling very cheap, below the regular going price. Why? Since it's not really his own land that he's selling. So he sells at a discount of a quarter or something close to that. So therefore, if let's say the land is worth 40 dinar, he sells it for 30. And therefore, the one who's buying has to give to the owner 10 dinar, which is a third of the monies that he paid. Or it's the equivalent of a quarter of the karka, which is 10 out of the 40. And the zerviya, and this quarter that he's getting off, is shalpalim. It belongs to original owner. It's because it's really theirs, that moichim bezel, that the seller is selling cheap. So if someone purchases from the meitzik for 30, asor has to give the owner 10, or gives him a quarter of the land, and then he purchases it all. If he doesn't give it to the original owner, somebody other. So it's like a quarter of the land is really like robbery in his possession. Halacha Dal talks about a related halacha regarding karka and a different type of inappropriate possession by going into someone else's field and doing work over there. So if someone goes into someone else's field without permission, and now he plants a tree over there. So it depends. If it was a field that was made for planting, it has very high quality that you could benefit from the trees. So we evaluate how much would a person want to give in this field to plant a tree. And that's how much this one who planted could collect from the owner of the field. But if it's not meant for planting a tree, then we evaluate. And the one who planted has the lower hand. Because the owner could claim, he says, I'm not interested in planting trees over here. I'd rather have vegetation. So therefore, he has the lower hand. In other words, if the increase is more than the expenses, he only gets how much he expended. And if the expenses are more than the increase of the value, so he only gets from the expenses according to how much that increase was. As we said, it's in Perek Tes, Halacha Hey. Now, Halacha Hey, Amalei Bal Hasad, if the owner of the field says, in this field, which is not meant for planting, as we just finished in the previous Halacha, he tells the guy who planted the tree, Akar lo nechvelech, rip out your tree and go. I don't want this tree in my field. I wanted to plant, let's say, wheat. So Shemuel, we listened to him because, yeah, the field is more appropriate for seeds than for trees. Now, Hanateya, let's say actually the one who planted the tree says, you know what? I'm ripping out my tree. I don't want to have this lower hand that the halacha requires of me, as we said in halacha dalad. In Shemuel, we don't listen to him. Why? You're actually going to weaken the ground when you take out you ruined it. You can't just take it out now, and therefore he has to have Yodal Tartayna. Halacha Vav, Hachatzeirois, courtyards, they're appropriate for building, to add on houses and lofts, upper stories. Therefore, the Goyim ruled that, similar to the previous halacha, if someone builds in his friend's courtyard without his permission, so it's just like the halacha when someone plants a tree in someone's field that's meant for planting. We hear also that courtyard is meant for building. But we evaluate how much would a person want to give for this structure that this person built. And that as long as he built an appropriate structure that's effective for that courtyard, like the custom is for those places, then you got to give as much as we said, which is how much a person would generally pay. Now, let's say, back to the field. But he went into his friend's field with permission. So then, so even if he ended up planting a field which is not meant for planting, so we evaluate for him and we give him the upper hand, the one that planted it. Meaning, if the expense is more than the increase, he takes how much he spent, even though the shevach is not so great. If the increase was more than how much he spent, he takes the increase. Now, a husband regarding his wife's property by a minor wife, Chachamor Mesakin, that he should have the upper hand because they're concerned that maybe the husband is going to consume the whole field by using it without increasing its value because he's concerned that any moment she might do mean and a refusal on him and just walk away. So he wants to, what's called chaparai, and he wants to get everything he could. So therefore, they wanted to give him an upper hand, meaning in the sense, don't worry, you're going to get back what you're putting in. And so to Vashutav, a partner, Basad Shesh Lechiliba, in the field that he has a portion of it, Kiyard Bishusim, they're considered like those who are doing work here with permission. And therefore, Vashamalhem, the Yad Malayana, we evaluate how much is what they increased in the value. And they have the upper hand, whether the expenses or the increase, don't worry, you're not going to lose out in what you're investing. Halacha Ches, Hayard Lestei Chaver Shalei Bishus. Now let's say someone goes into his friend's field without permission, but not to Ibana, and he plants or he builds, Ta'akach Babalasade, but in contrast to all the other previous halachas, here we add on another variable. So then on the field came Behishma bin, and he completed the structure that was started by the one who came in, Shalei Bishus. Or he's safeguarding, he's making a fence around the saplings. Or similar, the type of things, that it shows, it illustrates that his intention is leaning to what this person did, and now he's agreeable to this. Oh, then we evaluate for the one who built or planted, and he has the upper hand because this is something that he does want. Halacha Tes, let's someone goes into the ruins of his friend. And without permission, he builds it. We evaluate for him, he has the lower hand because the owners left it as a ruin. They didn't want to build it. And if it's like a field that's not meant for planting, which we said he has the lower hand, like we said in Halacha Dal. Now, if the owner of the building said, Eitzai v'avonai aninoito. You know what? I don't want to have this lower hand. I mean, the one who built it, not the owner of the field. The one who built it says, you know what, I'm taking my woods and my stones. So Bavayis, regarding if he built a building, Shemala, we actually listened to him, because destroying the building is not going to cause any damage to the ground. That's above ground. But Besad, if he did work in the field, ain't Shemala, we don't listen to him, like we said, because a building in the field will actually ruin the ground that it's built on. Mishmachash as a karka, it's going to weaken the ground. Now, Amalei Bala Karka, let's say the other way around, let's say the owner of the field tells him, Tulmash Abanias, to take what you build. Well, then Shemala, then we evaluate. We listened to him again, like we had said in the prior halacha, when he told him in halacha, hey, take out your tree and leave, which I didn't ask you for this, take your stuff, he could tell him to leave. Halacha Yud, regarding giving back the expenses and paying up the Shevach. So, Kol Misha Shomalai, anyone that we evaluate for him, the expenses in contrast to the Shevach, to the increase of the value that he caused in the field, Bin Shasa Yod El Yon, with the case where he has the upper hand, Bin Shasa Yod El Yon, where he has the lower hand, either one of those cases, in the netakum, he won't take anything that he's being rewarded with. Actually, shavav and the kitzis chavetz kamahitzi, until he swears by holding a holy object, how much money did he spend? Now, vim amar, let's say he says, yivoy hadiyonim. Look, let judges come, v'yasu shuma saitza, and let them make an evaluation of the expenses. V'anehi galui lenim, and that it's revealed to their eyes. V'yishadu eitzim abonim, let them evaluate the wood and the stones, vasir and these lime uscharu umonim, and the wages for the workers. B'pachash b'sham. I don't care, let the judges decide the lowest market value possible. Then we listen to him. And he could take without an oath, because the oath is only where in the situation where we don't know the claim, whereas over here we know definitively it's at least that amount, because they're telling you the rock bottom possible prices that he spent. And so let's say this person only taking the shevach, the increase, because he had the upper hand where he gets to take the shevach. It doesn't need an oath because we see what the increase. Let's get an assessor, see what I go up in value, and then he doesn't have to swear how much he spent. So anyone that we evaluate for him, how much he's owed, and he takes. Where now the owner of the field claims and he says, look, Nisati, I already gave it. I paid you up to how much the court told me I have to pay you for what you did in my field. Now the one who went into the field and did stuff over there says, it's not true, I didn't take it. The one who went into the field, he's believed to say, and therefore, he swears that the guy didn't pay him anything, and he could collect that amount. Why do we believe him? Because we tell the owner of the field, they didn't make an evaluation for you. You don't even know how much you have to give. How's it possible that you gave? It seems to indicate that he didn't really pay him. Now, in contrast, but let's say they already made the evaluation. And they tell the owner of the field, ten, like, okay, so give him how much? Vamai says, Nasat, they already gave it. So, although we said that in the previous halacha, that the one who's coming down, he has to first swear, and he doesn't have any rights to take until he swears, even though he didn't swear yet, the owner of the field is believed, because he already knows how much the evaluation is for, and all he takes is a rabbinic oath without holding a holy object that he already paid it. And he's let off the hook. Because ultimately, the property is in the possession of its owner. And the one who came in and wants to collect, he's Moitze Mechabera. And he has to bring the onus of the proof is on him. And therefore, here we believe with the Shavuos Heses, the owner of the field that he already gave it. Halachit Beis continues regarding if a husband brings sharecroppers to work in his wife's property. So, Baal Shahar Darisim Ben Nechze Ishtay, if a husband brings in sharecroppers who get a certain portion of the profits into his wife's property, so then Ba'achach Gersha, then he divorces her. Now, the sharecroppers are coming to claim their wages from the woman who is the owner of the properties. So, Im HaBaal Atzmei Aris, if the husband himself was a sharecropper, so Nistalik Baal, now that the husband's gone, so Nistalik Arisov, so his sharecroppers are gone, because Shleyerdu La'iludas HaBaal, they only came with the consent of the husband. So we evaluate for them. They have the lower hand because it's just like the husband himself in his adult wife's estate, where he's also like a Yerid Shaloi B'shos, in contrast when it's a minor wife. And even though the field needs sharecropping, we don't qualify it like a field which is meant for planting, like we said in Halacha Dal, because if not for these workers, the husband himself would have worked the field because he's a sharecropper himself. So they only get the lower hand. But v'meina balaros. But if the husband himself is not a sharecropper, so das hakarkiyardu. So these workers, they came because the land needed it. And it's as if the woman herself had them come down, And then for Shamalam Kar, we evaluate for them how much a word of Shirkarab get, and that's how much they get in this field.